And the other part about this for Daylon Swain, I mean, that there's so much to be it, and college athletics very different now to where you know, with the money involved, the money that's factored in here to, you know, what would he earn coming back to play another season for Sean Miller here at UT? But I think it still goes back to the whole point of do you want to risk your possibly your professional career to play another year at Texas and have an injury that could totally derail your future. I mean, that still factors into this, because you have to think about that part. And I think a lot of times that kind of gets the money thing factors in right now to where it's like that element now, but there's still that part, because you've watched a lot of guys that have had just one injury in their college career. And I mean, look at the list of names that there was a very unsuccessful or no professional career because you stayed an extra year. And I think, again, it's just good business by him. His head is square on his shoulders, and we wish him only the best. And he will have success. I guarantee you he will have success. Hell of a swingman is Daylon Swain.
Yeah, and so will Texas, right? I mean, with the job Sean Miller has done, again, in the transfer portal, the ceiling is much higher in year two than it was in year one, even without Daylon Swain. So he's not going to be easy to replace, but again, there are so many reasons for why you should believe that this could be a pretty special season. I mean, if Daylon Swain came back, Texas might have been a preseason top five team next year. Even without Daylon Swain, I think the Texas Longhorns are going to be somewhere in the top 15, maybe right around the top 10 with what they've added. It's the third-ranked transfer portal class, according to pretty much every outlet out there. Plus, you bring in a McDonald's All-American in Austin Goosby, and you know, you've got Bo Ogden coming in and Joe Sterling as well. It's the number one class, according to 24/7, when you look at the portal plus high school recruiting combined. So they've done a tremendous job. Again, it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about the investment into Longhorn athletics. Obviously, the investment into Texas basketball went up a lot with those three tournament wins in 5 days and that trip to the second weekend. You're seeing that happen, and Sean Miller is a proven coach. He's won a lot of games in men's college basketball. Again, this thing, it's only going up from here. We'll all remember Daylon Swain. He became a fan favorite instantly. Like, usually it's tough to become a fan favorite with just 1 year at any school, regardless of the sport that you play. But Daylon Swain, pretty much from his very first game, just hit the ground running. He was fantastic, easy to root for, played the game the right way. And again, I mean, was Texas's best player by far on a Sweet 16 team. He will be missed, there's no doubt. But again, this thing is only going up, and you'll always be grateful for him, for Kendall Weaver, for Tremont Mark, for Jordan Pope, those guys who kind of laid the foundation for the Sean Miller era. Because this is wishful thinking, of course, but I expect Texas to just continue to get better. Mm-hmm. And I expect like that first year's team to be maybe the worst team of the entire Sean Miller era. I don't want to see Texas playing in the play-in or the first four, whatever the hell we're calling it now that the tournament 76 teams. You don't want to be there anymore. But that's the group that laid the foundation that allowed whatever is about to happen with Texas basketball to be possible.
And this is where you go back to the Chris Del Conte discussion, where you go out and you make that hire. You make that hire, and with that in this conversation where you talk about the hire of Sean Miller, that produced you Daylon Swain to add to the guys that you're talking about. And you know, there have been some of the conversations about when you talk about the hires, and it's like, well, Rodney Terry had to be the guy at that point with what that team did. I've said that for the longest time. You could not let that guy be the head coach based on what he was. What you want to talk about through a rough period, he managed all of that, and yes, he deserved that opportunity. But now with this hire, and that really is, I think, where the pendulum has swung for Texas basketball when it comes to on the court production, on the court results, with donors, with all of that. It's going to be the hire of Sean Miller and that run. And that run in the NCAA tournament. Because look, man, that last week going into the tournament, I'm like, I don't think you need to be in there. I don't think you need to be in there, but now it has changed that fast to where I'm like, this program is going to be really good moving forward.
That's the sport. That's the way it works. Like, your success is defined by what you do in March. So yeah, Texas kind of limped into the tournament. There's no doubt. A lot of people don't think they should have made it. They obviously had to start in Dayton, but they got hot at the right time. They rallied together. And I know Sean Miller's never been to a Final Four. That's the biggest demerit or indictment, if you will, against him. But he's won a lot of NCAA tournament games over the course of his career, and he knows what it takes to win in the month of March, and he found a way to get it done. So that's another reason why you should be confident with him. And yeah, combination of that, like you said, is why we all feel like this thing is headed in the right direction. So there's that. There's your Dalen Swain news. Again, a bit of a bummer. Best of luck to him. We expected it. He still does have a few days to change his mind, you know, just because he told the ESPN reporter that he's 2 feet. Hey, 2 feet in the pool. You could jump out of the pool. You know that. You could get out and walk somewhere else. There's still a spot available for you, Dalen, if you would like to return. But again, that ship, I think, is long gone.
Well, you know what we need to happen is in that pool, we need somebody to tinkle. So he'll jump out.
Mm. If is somebody, are you a pool peer, RR?
Depends.
On
only if needed. No, I don't do it in the pool. I mean, I may do it in the lake, and maybe it's not on purpose. Maybe it just happens. But that may have happened a time or two.
No, of course, we've all done it a few times. Anybody who says they've never peed in a pool is completely lying, especially if beers are involved, you know.
Right. When you got to go, you got
to
go.
Yeah, you're having to go every 10 minutes. Like, you don't want to leave the pool every 10 minutes. There's it takes too much time and it looks weird. So you just make it happen, you know. Go away from the people a little bit. Go away from the crowd so they don't know. And then you do your business. Or if you don't like them very much, you just do it right there, you know.
Right behind them.
Yeah. You know? Go up to somebody you don't like and then boom, there it is. A little warm. For you right there.
What's that warm stream on my calf? What is that?
Oh, you're taking the pants, you're taking the trunks all the way down and doing it.
You just whip it out the side, whip it out the little corner, you know.
That'd be the best bit right there. Is you literally get out of the pool, it's like, I'm going to the bathroom, and then you just whip it out and urinate into the pool while you're standing on the side. That is, you really have to hate the person who owns the pool if you're doing something like that. I've never seen that done before, but I kind of hope I do see it at some point in my life.
Let's go to Wag's house.
Yeah, do that there. Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that. We would definitely get the invite back. Oh, man. All right, now to some Texas baseball. Our guy Forever Burnt says we're a joke for not talking about UT baseball before this. Thanks for tuning in, now. Forever Burnt. We appreciate the comment. Yes, the most important game in town. He's the only game in town tonight, so I can't disagree with you too much, Forever Burnt. Texas taking on last place Missouri in a matchup between two college baseball powerhouses at UFCU Dish Falk Field tonight. It is a big series for the Longhorns. All jokes aside, you know, Texas trying to put the finishing touches on a resume that will net them a top eight national seed in the NCAA tournament. The Longhorns are in a great spot right now. And I think all they have to do is win this series against Mizzou. It's win and you're in the top eight. Usually you say win and you're in. You're talking about just making the tournament. It's win and you're in the top eight. You'd love to sweep Mizzou. You should sweep Mizzou. They're 6-21 in the SEC. They're 3-12 in true road games this year. They were picked to finish last in the league. They are last in the league. They are not very good. So you'd like to win all three of these games against them and get a bunch of confidence and momentum going into the postseason. But if you just win the series, you will be a top eight national seed, regardless of what happens at the SEC tournament in Hoover. And I think anybody would have signed up for this at the start of the season, right? If you ask Jim Schlossnagel or any diehard Texas baseball fan, hey, we're going to give you one series at home against the last place team in your league. All you have to do is take 2 of 3 and you're hosting through Omaha. Would you say yes? I think everybody would have signed the dotted line right there. That is the situation that has presented itself for the Longhorns tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday.
You've put yourself in a position. You've worked all season long. You've won all these series through the SEC, which is going to put a lot of teams in the postseason. And we talked about this the other day. All you have to do, and again, I talk like it's nothing, but all you have to do is go out and take care of business. And you've got the same rotation that you had last week. And Dylan Volantis goes tonight, and then it'll be on to Luke Harrison and then Ruger. I mean, you go and you just I still say that I think that winning that game on Sunday is so important, because if you came into this series, despite the fact that you're playing a team that is not very good on paper, that you go with that downward trajectory. But I think you come in on a high note, and I think that ultimately is what is going to win you this series. And you come out and you just continue to hit the ball. And that's the one thing that I want to see through this series. I want to see Adrian Rodriguez continue to progress. I want to see everything that you've watched throughout this lineup continue to do what it's been doing, taking you into the postseason. So I'm very optimistic, and it does. It sounds so easy, but just win this series and you chart the rest of your postseason. That's all you got to do. Win three games.
Yeah. Well, look, I feel a lot better if they win all three of these games. I mean, it's hard to use Mizzou as a barometer or a measuring stick because they suck. This is not a team you're going to see in the postseason. It's one of those, though, if you lose this series, then not only might you cost yourself a top eight seed, but it's going to be really hard to feel confident that you can go on a run to the College World Series because you'd feel like you're playing your worst baseball at the worst possible time. I mean, last year, Texas peaked too early. Part of it was injury-related, right? Once they lost Jared Spencer to that injury, lost a couple of other guys as well, that didn't help their cause. But they were not playing their best baseball going into the tournament. And they obviously ended up losing in the Austin Regional to UTSA. You want to be playing your best baseball. Like you said, coming off that series loss, you avoided the sweep with that Sunday win, but you want to take care of business against a pretty lousy Mizzou team that has been swept more often than not in SEC play. Just psychologically. I mean, all three of your starting pitchers were not very good, right? Like Dylan Volantis was fine, but he's been immortal. He looked human last Friday against Tennessee. Probably his worst, definitely his worst start since moving into that Friday night role. You'd like to see him bounce back and look like the elite guy he's been pretty much the entire year, where he's looked like the best pitcher in the conference. Luke Harrison got hit around pretty good last weekend. You'd like for him to figure some things out. Ruger Riojas, he started the only game that the Longhorns won in Knoxville, but he gave up a grand slam in the first inning and only made it through four last week. So all three of those guys, you're playing at home, pitcher's park. Mizzou is not a good offense at all. You should see those guys all shove, but you would like psychologically, there's a few guys, including the starting pitchers, who you'd like to see put one good performance together before everything gets really, really important.
I agree, because what you don't want going into the SEC tournament and then beyond is you don't want slumps. You don't want yips. You don't want any of that stuff as you get ready, because it really is such a mental game that baseball is, to where one thing gets out of kilter. There's a technical word for you. One thing gets out of kilter, and it can like derail you for weeks. And I think that it is very much with this starting rotation to get them right. Have impressive performances is what you want. And starting tonight, because it was. I mean, with Volantis, it was like, okay, this isn't the time for that to happen. This isn't when you want to see that. So to come out and you need a strong performance. You do, just across the board. Ideally, you want to come out and I want it to be an emphatic series sweep. I mean, I think any Texas baseball fan, that's what you want. But just go out and put yourself in a position. Again, I think it's so important. Put yourself in a position in these games to where you should take care of business. Put yourself in a position to give some other guys some time on the field. Let them get out. You can alter the lineup around as you're going. Continue to work on the bullpen. Continue to give some of those guys some quality pitches, and get yourself ready for the postseason. And again, this isn't a slight at the opponent this weekend, but you should be able to do that relatively easy based on everything that we've seen to this point.
Yeah, and part of this is getting guys healthy as well for the winner go home kind of game. So Ethan Mendoza will be playing, but he's only DHing this weekend, according to Jim Schlossnagel. He got hurt in the first inning of the first game in that Tennessee series last week, which was tough to watch. Riojas has been dealing with some arm soreness. Max Grubbs will not pitch this weekend. He's already been ruled out for tonight's game. But Jim Schlossnagel said earlier today that Max Grubbs is unavailable for the entire weekend. So, yeah, it's a combination of, like, winning a series to get a top eight seed, psychologically, mentally getting your guys right, and also, okay, trying to find ways to make sure guys can get healthy and also nobody gets hurt. It's kind of threefold. I know they're three different things, and it's hard to do all of them at one time, but those are the goals for Texas this weekend. And if you watch this team play, you know how important a top eight national seed is. Like, that is priority number one over the other two things that we talked about. And this team's 26-4 at home. They're 8-8 on the road. So you ensure that, your path to Omaha goes through UFCU Dish Falk Field. I mean, historically speaking, that's the case for every team, right? Top eight national seeds have a much better chance of making the College World Series. But for this Texas team, they are so much better at home. They look like a national title contender in Austin. They don't. They look like a bubble team on the road this year. So just, again, it's the perfect ideal situation that anybody would have signed up for at the start of the year. Don't let it slip away. You've done too much. You know, you're tied for second in the SEC right now. You've got the sixth-ranked strength of schedule. You've got the fourth-ranked RPI. You've worked so hard to build up this elite resume that has you in a great spot. Don't urinate, to go back to that, down your leg in the final weekend of the regular season.
And the other part of this is we talked, you know, on Tuesday with Lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell here on the program, to where I think something that we saw last weekend in the series, we saw a little bit of sloppiness. We saw some errors and so forth. I think that's the one thing that you want to do with this opponent is you want to come in, you want to clean some of that up, and you just want to have good, refined, fundamental baseball. Because, again, that's something to where, you know, we talk about it with football all the time. How many times did we talk about penalties and all that? What you don't want is you don't want this rash of errors and missed throws and all of that as you go into the tournament and beyond. And I keep saying beyond because there's high expectations of going beyond.
Beyond the tournament? Is there another tournament after the tournament?
There's a little one. There's a little one after that. And guess what? It's on the road eventually. Hopefully, with the case right there. But clean up some of that stuff. That's something that I'm going to be keeping a close eye on this series. I don't want to – I mean, look, let's be honest. You can probably still make those mistakes, and you're still going to win this series. But I think it comes back to where you want – in a well-oiled machine situation, you want all of that clicking and working the right way as you get ready to head to the SEC tournament. Because like you said, you've worked way too hard to build this resume and your body of work to kind of, again – pee down your leg and drop a series here that can ultimately affect what you're planning to do in the postseason.
Style points don't matter in the eyes of the tournament committee, but they definitely matter in my eyes.
Me too.
A lot of Longhorn fans, right? The eye test. Like, if you win three games against Mizzou, the committee is going to say, well, they swept Mizzou. Like, all right, they did what they were supposed to do. They took care of business. Yeah, we're giving them a top eight seed. But if all three of those games are one run wins, it's like, man, or if they're all like, you know, the Mississippi State series finale, I'll use that as an example. Or hell, maybe Missouri is closer to like Sam Houston or A&M Corpus than they are to Mississippi State. It's like, if you got to come from behind, if you're spotting them four or five runs in the first inning and you're playing catch up in these games, it's like, that's not what we want to see. Because again, it's Texas baseball. Every year you have aspirations of not only getting to Omaha, but dogpiling at the end of the College World Series. You know, all year long, you felt like this is a team that has what it takes to do just that. It's been a windy road, but guess what? The SEC is not easy. It's not going to be smooth sailing. It hasn't really been smooth sailing for anybody. There's only one team in this conference that has single-digit SEC losses this year, and that's Georgia, who ended up winning the league, and they're a national championship contender too. It's not going to be easy, but still, this team has just about everything you need to make a legit run at a national title. You got to be playing your best baseball at the right time. And again, you want to give yourself the easiest path to make sure you can make it to Omaha. I will say this, Texas 8-8 on the road. They are 3-0 in neutral site games this year, which the SEC tournament's there, but obviously more important, the College World Series is there too. So haven't lost in a neutral game. Don't forget about that one, Rodney. Could be important.
That's very important. That's very important because these do become neutral games. And it really is. I mean, this is, you come out and refine, just do what you've been doing. Don't neglect the situation and the opportunities that you've given yourself and just work on stuff. And again, when you talk about coming from behind, don't be coming from behind like the San Francisco Giants. Did you see that?
No.
You see those guys? They were doing some kind of, it was like a humping thing. Celebration thing. It's worse than A&M. I'll send it to you.
I did see that. I thought you were talking about they had some big comeback last night.
Come on, man. You know me. I'm going down the bad road.
They weren't really coming from behind. They were all coming from the front. They were all.
Oh yeah.
Thrusting. Front, right.
Yeah, thrusting. They were all thrusting one another. That's not a good look. I think the MLB said don't do that anymore. That's pretty bad for them.
They get in trouble.
I think that they were told to no longer do that. This is a family sport, for crying out loud. Cut that out, said the MLB.
One of the weirder celebrations. You know, typically, I don't know if typically is the right word, but a lot of times in Major League Baseball, college baseball, high school baseball, whatever, you know, after your team wins a game, the three outfielders will come together somewhere in the outfield grass and they'll do a cool handshake or they'll hug or high five or something like that, a little dance. And yeah, the San Francisco Giants, trying to like cut it up as we talk, they did a weird little move that has gone viral for the wrong reasons.
That it kind of made the A&M one look tame.
We do have that. Yeah, the earlier this season, the Aggies in the dugout, where, you know, two guys just getting a little excited, maybe forgetting that they're in the dugout, being a part of a nationally televised baseball game.
You know,
they're
what?
Trying to take their off the field business on the field. I don't know.
I think that explains why their donors are shying away. That right there. If I saw that, I don't think I'd want to donate anything to that program.
Like some Aggies would probably see this and be like, "I'm doubling my donation here."
Yeah. Let's keep here's this $2 million.
Yeah. Wow. Here's the Giants celebration right here.
Oof. Wow.
Yeah, that's a weird bit with their, I assume they're three outfielders. They're a lot of smiles and a lot of thrusting and a lot of humping going on there.
They seem to be enjoying it a little too much. But yeah, yeah. I think MLB did step in and say, no more of that.
Hey, to each their own, you know, they're just celebrating a victory. What's the deal? What's the problem?
Yeah, come on, man. I'd love the Houston Astros to do that. Get a victory is what
I was going to say. Yeah, you have to win games to be able to, not that the Giants are winning a lot of games either, but I think they're doing better than the Astros. I think just about everybody's doing better than the Astros right now.
Yeah, sad time. Sad time at the Dyke. But yeah, for Texas, I mean, it's simple. Come on out and just finish this thing off. And I'm looking forward to it. I, like I said, and I'm going to keep going to this. I'll repeat it until I'm blue in the face. I just want clean baseball and consistency. And I think that's so important just for the balance of the year. This series is that pivotal that you want to go into the postseason clean. Clean, and like you said, continue to work on those injuries. You got to get some dudes well. You got to get some dudes well.
No doubt. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Texas baseball win, and you're in the top eight. The Longhorns hosting Mizzou, three-game series. The final regular season series gets going tonight at the Dish, 6:30, first pitch. You've got a game tomorrow night, and then a Saturday afternoon, I believe 2 o'clock Central Time for the final game of the regular year. Course games you could hear on 103.1. I don't think any of these are nationally televised. They're all SEC Network Plus games. Maybe our guy Hardball Harge is calling a couple of these games. Got to ask him. But there you go. There's your Longhorn baseball chatter. We'll talk to Evan Veith of Inside Texas. We'll get his thoughts on Texas and Missouri and everything going on with Longhorn baseball right now. Also some Texas football. We got to ask Evan for his thoughts on everything Steve Sarkisian had to say in that USA Today article that went viral earlier this week, where he took shots at Ole Miss and the NCAA and the college football playoff and pretty much anybody who would listen and even some people who did not listen. So we'll get to that in a moment. First, though, a few more sponsor shout outs. McCall Custom Homes. He'll be playing in the Mullet Open tomorrow. Mike's a great dude, Double R, one of our good friends, and he does tremendous, tremendous work.
Yeah, I've got the Mike McCall lid on today. I think I'm going to probably wear this tomorrow at the golf tournament, or I've got another one. And for over 40 years, BK, a father-son team right here, yeah, they'll build you a brand-new home if you want that. But at the same time, if you're looking to add value to your home, because that's what they do, whether it be a kitchen remodel, whether it be a bath remodel, living room, adding a second story, whatever you're looking to do, our friends at McCall Custom Homes would love to take care of that for you. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Check out their work. We talk about reviews and Better Business Bureau reviews and so forth. And you were talking about that a while ago. If you've got a lot of good reviews, that's really saying something, because people are not shy when they give you reviews, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've actually seen that today with our Texas baseball conversation. But if you've got those reviews, that's your customers telling you you're doing a great job. And these guys have been doing it for a long time. great trades that Mike McCall uses. I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I had an AC kind of on the blink. I needed something done really, really fast. I called Mike. He's like, call this dude. The guy was there in 2 hours, got it taken care of for me. It was really easy. Really easy thing, but he came out and did it. And thanks to Mike for that. 512-633-9580. Get that free estimate, but you got to mention Bucky and BK, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Come see him at the golf tournament tomorrow. He'll probably be the one that's up at the top of the leaderboard because the dude's a pretty dadgum good golfer. Check him out today, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. We build value into your home.
He's one of those guys who's good at golf. I hate those guys, you know.
How do we not get that guy on our team?
I know, yeah. And you like those guys when you're on your team in a scramble. You don't like them when they're on somebody else's foursome. Shout out to McCall Custom Homes. Also, Qualis Roofing and Construction. If your home got hit by the recent storms, if something's wrong with your roof, call our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Also, look, you know the storms were brutal. Get your roof inspected for free. The insurance companies say that you should have your roof looked at twice a year. Qualis is like, nah, just once a year. And maybe this is a good time with the crazy rain. Some people got hail. Some people got high winds. All of those things can damage your roof. Maybe there's something minor that you can't see that's going on. Get that taken care of now. If you don't, it could turn into a very costly major problem down the line. Free inspections, free storm assessments. Qualis, they want your business. They will come to your place free of charge. They're also going to buy you a Texas Longhorns t-shirt just for having them out. They specialize in both residential and commercial roofs. Speaking of great reviews, more than 700 five-star reviews. They've got a great team here in Central Texas. They've got a great team up in the Metroplex as well. They are the best roofers there are. Not fly-by-night, not storm-chasing. They've been around, and they are going to stay around. Don't just take my word for it. Google them. Go to their website, qualisgc.com, or give them a call, 512-257-0033. Google me. Yeah, Google them. Thank you very much, Coach. Qualis Roofing and Construction, they have you covered. And also, Go Abundance, the Ride Project. Our guy Matt King is biking 2,000 miles across the country from Mexico to Canada in an effort to raise $1 million for communities all over the nation. An incredible guy, an inspirational story, and he's not taking any of the money. Literally, he's sacrificing his life, putting his life on hold for a couple of weeks to bike 2,000 miles sitting on that uncomfortable ass seat to raise money for folks who need it. TheRideProject.com to learn more and to donate. TheRideProject.com. All right.
A lot of miles. That's a lot of miles, man.
That's a lot of butt on seat action right there. And not all seats are created equal. The bicycle seat, I think, is very low on my list of seat power rankings.
Yeah. I do indoor cycling, but luckily I just sit on that thing for, you know, 30 minutes or so. I can't imagine. Oh my goodness.
That's, yeah. Even that, you're like, if parts of your body are falling asleep and you're in pain, and you think about that more than your legs hurting. And that's for 30 minutes, 2,000 miles, 13 days.
Yeah. Well,
guys are worried.
You know, they make cycle shorts that you can wear, which is great, but then you got to deal with chafing. Then you I'm not winning here. I'm not winning at this game.
Bring the gold off to him. Bring the gold bond. It will be needed. All right, joining us now, we typically chop it up with him on Friday, but kind enough to move us a day early, Evan Veith from Inside Texas and InsideTexas.com joining the show to talk all things Texas Longhorns. Evan, good to see you, man. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Good to see you guys. Hope y'all are doing well. I heard about some golf talk before. I need to get my game going up this summer.
Yeah, I still I need to put you in contact with a couple of guys who can help.
That's right. We talked about this.
Yeah, elevate your game. Believe me, I need it. They've done wonders for my golf game, and I think they'll take care of you as well, the Academy of Golf Dynamics. But anyways, let's talk some Longhorns. We'll start with some Texas baseball. Definitely want to get your thoughts on Dalen Swain's decision and then Steve Sarkisian's USA Today article that has gone crazy viral over the last 48 hours or so. But Texas and Mizzou, final series of the regular season. Evan, we said it earlier, it feels like as long as the Longhorns take 2 of 3, you'd like to sweep this awful Missouri team, but as long as they win a series, it feels like they're a top 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. Do you agree? Is that kind of all Texas needs to do to get that path to Omaha right here through Austin?
So I think what might concern some fans right now is that after that Tennessee loss, you drop from third or fourth, depending where you're looking, to sixth, pretty much unanimously the sixth best team. And that's behind two SEC teams, behind those two other ACC teams, Georgia Tech, UNC, and then, of course, UCLA at number one. And you're looking like, oh, God, we are only, you know, two spots separated from basically being at the bubble or out. What you have to realize is that Texas at six is much closer to number two than they are to number seven. Right now, those last two spots are really, really up for grabs between about, you could say 12 teams, but maybe closer to about five teams. It's basically who the committee believes is the, or I actually don't know exactly how they decide the field of 64, but who they think the next best SEC team is. Usually that's A&M this late in the year, but it could also be Alabama or Florida, and then maybe an Oregon State or a team like that. So Texas just winning two out of three secures it at this point. You are not what, 10 out of 10 SEC series, eight wins there. And Missouri's not going to move the needle, but it clearly will help you if you win a series in the SEC. So that's why we keep saying two out of three secures it for you. The SEC tournament wouldn't matter there. And as long as you're in a top eight national seed, you cannot complain in the postseason, and you are in a strong spot. Of course, you go out and sweep and maybe make some noise in the SEC tournament, you can move up a spot or two. That's not of the utmost importance. And even Jim Schlossnagel told us yesterday, like, yeah, we're gonna basically go all out with our pitching this week, and we're gonna try to win these games. But when it comes to the SEC tournament, that's where we're gonna be a little conservative with our players. And you've seen that this team is pretty banged up at this point. But yeah, you gotta win two out of three. This shouldn't be a Missouri team that you're scared of playing and winning two of the games at. McDevitt, their starter, is probably the best starter Missouri's had in I don't know how long. They never have starters. That's always their problem. They can maybe hit with some other teams, but they just lose every game 12-8. And that's been the story of Missouri baseball for quite some time. So that's a real Friday guy that you're going to have to go against and go out and beat tonight. I believe he's taking the Thursday start against Dylan Volantis. So I'd watch out for that game. Like, that's the one where maybe Missouri makes it interesting and they even take it. And you're like, oh, God, like, are we going to lose the series to Missouri? But a big thing for Texas this weekend is making sure your guys are healthy, making sure you can find that optimal lineup. I wrote about on Inside Texas that I think even when Ethan Mendoza's, you know, DHing, he's got to be in the lineup. And eventually Darian Pendergrass, however much they can get him up and to full speed, he should be the starting center fielder or right fielder to end the season.
Evan, how important is it in your opinion, and you actually kind of stole my thunder, because I was going to ask you specific things that you're looking at in this series within winning two or three for Texas, and you just mm-hmm. kind of answered that right there. But I talk about momentum all the time and refining details with this baseball team. How important in your opinion is that for this baseball team in this series as you head towards that SEC, where you want to kind of emphatically want to win these games, I think?
Yeah, you know, Occupy LF on Twitter, shout out to him, gets some noise for his never lose on Sundays take, and that can backfire sometimes. But it's true. This team winning on Sunday, I think, gave them that little jolt of like a reminder of who they were. And, of course, that came against not a real starting pitcher, and Tennessee's staff is very thin, and they already were down a guy, and their pitchers had pitched on Saturday and Friday as well. But, you know, for guys like Casey Borba to go out and have a really good game, and for Adrian Rodriguez to swing the bat well and hit a home mm-hmm. run, like, that really matters. And it's completely, I think maybe NBA is probably the only other sport where like confidence matters more. The confident bat versus the unconfident bat is just a completely different player, and stats skew so far. So them getting that Sunday win, I think, really mattered for them. It's a short week, but you don't play a Tuesday, so it doesn't affect you that much. And you have guys like Temo Becerra, who's probably the hottest base hitter in NCAA right now. Some guys are hitting more home runs, but he is getting on at like a 666% clip or something like that. So he's been tremendous. Casey Borba has been really good quietly these past two weekends, better than he had been the ones prior to that. And then Adrian Rodriguez is starting to turn a corner. I think Anthony Pack's going to be fully healthy this weekend. So you just want your bats especially to kind of feel a little bit better as they're going into the SEC tournament and, of course, the regionals. I have less concerns about the pitching staff than other people might. It was bound to happen that they'd have a few rough games and a few rough sequences and series. Remember, we're all talking about this with them having won seven of their nine SEC series. They just dropped this one, but that was with kind of the opposite of a perfect storm. Like, you were right in the center of a really bad injury crisis for your team. So for Riojas and Harrison, it's just get out of the first inning, and I feel pretty confident about you pitching well for the game. I have no worries about Dylan Volantis. Hayden LeFou had his best outing on Sunday. Sam Cozart's going to be just fine. They're resting Max Grubbs this weekend. I think it's kind of in a similar vein of just a guy who's been banged up this year, and they haven't figured out what quite what it is with him, and they're just trying to be cautious. It's about the bats getting right here, and I think they should go out and sweep. I think they will go out and sweep Missouri. I don't think this is a very good baseball team, but if those guys can go and get some 8-12 run games like that, that'll be really nice heading into the postseason.
No doubt. Evan Veith of Inside Texas and InsideTexas.com joining us here on Bucky and BK. Shifting over to basketball, Evan, I think we were all expecting it, but it doesn't make it any less disappointing. Daylon Swain basically confirming yesterday that he is staying in the NBA draft and not returning to Texas. Your thoughts on that decision? And you think Sean Miller and company have kind of known this for a while now?
I think when they signed Elijah Freeman, it was the sign that this is what was going to happen. And Swain had been so quiet that you would just kind of could tell that he's going to really try to test this draft process. And he made the smart decision where a lot of guys have opted out in that late first round to go back to college to make some more money. I think Swain saw his opportunity as, yes, maybe next year's class isn't as loaded, but my stock's pretty high right now. I could maybe be a top 20 pick. What's the point in not going and just going to get my money in the NBA? And Joe Cook over on Inside Texas, give him a shout out. Outside of him returning to Texas, this is as good of a result for the Longhorns as possible for just kind of the broader program, because he gets to kind of be the poster child of Sean Miller's development and a real, hey, this is someone that we sent to the NBA in year one that this coach has had since the very beginning. He was 175 pound forward. Now he's 215 and slashing against NBA players. And I do think there is clearly a chance for him to be a top 20 pick. You know, I feel the same way post lottery about the NBA as I do kind of that pick 25 to 50 in the NFL, where there's not a big difference between the 15th and 30th pick in the NBA. It's really just what the team needs and what they think is the better player. So I've seen the Heat at 13 be a mock for Swain, but I've also seen him as low as like 26 to some of these playoff teams. Either way, I think he's going to get drafted to a team that's pretty good, and that's going to be nice for him. Just go get some playoff minutes early in your career. That would be awesome. I don't think Texas is really fretting this decision as much as they might have been a few months ago, because they did so well in the portal and got two really good forwards and really high-level players. Sean Miller's known this for a while, I assume, and now you can kind of fully say, like, all right, this is our team. This is what we know it's going to be. I still think they need a backup center. I know it's not exactly what you get we're asking about, but it's kind of similar to last year, and they never got that extra point guard, but this team is really well loaded for the 2027 season. So I'm not concerned about Swain not coming back. It's probably the right decision for him. And you know what? Go represent the Horns in the NBA. You're going to have a great career.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Evan, on to some football conversation, and we can kind of save Sark here for maybe the next question, but I do want to ask you, we saw a couple of kickoff times released and big games, Ohio State and Texas A&M, to say that Texas being thrust into the national limelight even more, kind of talk about those two. That's going to be some great in-game experiences right there in two really big football games coming up this year.
Yeah, that I'm so excited for Ohio State to be at night. The Twitter warriors were all explaining the heat of Austin, Texas to people who lived in Austin, Texas, which I thought was pretty funny. You know, that game is probably not going to be dark until halftime or even like right after halftime because of how it is in early September. So we're talking about on the field, it's probably going to feel about 95 for the first half, which is to Texas's advantage. I think, you know, the Longhorns, if they really wanted to win the game at the easiest way would be let's play it at 11 a.m. and go get these Ohio State guys in the heat. But those players are too good to really have that be a problem. I love it. I think night games are what college football is all about. I really didn't like last year being that big noon kickoff game. It felt like you were taking away from what truly was an awesome game, even though there were some struggles with Arch Manning. And of course the A&M game, like how is that not going to be a night game? That I think you can kind of write that in and pencil that in now for that Friday after Thanksgiving. Like that's what's going to be every year. And I think both sides really want that. I think ESPN really wants that. It really works out in general. I was looking at the schedule again recently and thinking, is Texas going to play 5 night games this year or even maybe more than that? Yeah. Because I think Texas at Tennessee, they're going to try to make a night game at Neyland for that battle of UTs. There's like a mini rivalry there with what we're about to talk about later. Like Texas Ole Miss might be a night game.
Oh,
and then
man.
Of course, playing at Death Valley, like that's definitely going to be a night game. So how many games are we going to see at Texas under the bright lights in front of the crowd? I wonder how popular this Texas team is going to be, especially if they're good, because all these really fans that are just kind of fans of football and maybe more NFL people who are just Saturday night, let's turn on a game. They're going to be watching a lot of Texas. They're going to be seeing a lot of celebrities, a lot of big names in Manning and Coleman. Like they might end up being the kind of like casuals favorite team because they're playing all these fun games.
Yeah. Can we get the Oklahoma game at night, Evan. It's my lifelong dream right there, sir.
I don't know if that fair can handle that many fans scrambling out at 11 p.m.
I always say nobody agrees, and I can't figure out why, but you want to prove that you're the best rivalry in college football, you got to have some casualties, and you're guaranteed some casualties with the everyone leaving Fair Park at 11 p.m. at night. That's how you do it right there. Evan Veith, yeah, no one agrees. I don't know why. Evan Veith of InsideTexas.com joining us here on Bucky and BK. Well, you brought up Ole Miss a moment ago. I mean, there's a lot we can unpack, and we'll talk about a couple of things, but I guess starting with Steve Sarkisian's comments on Ole Miss and the basket weaving. To me, it's calculated, right? This is not a post-game press conference where it's heat of the moment and, oh, maybe your emotions get the best of you. It's a private sit-down conversation, or he could have been measured. He could have said something different. He could have said at some schools you could take basket weaving, but he specifically called out Ole Miss. Your thoughts on what you saw from Steve Sarkisian and kind of that bombshell article on USA Today earlier in the week?
I do think it was calculated. I don't know if it was calculated in the sense that Lane Kiffin was going to say that he is now a pioneer of the sport for leaving the conservative Ole Miss ties and their Confederate ties. That was a crazy 2-day run for that athletic department, but it was calculated. And you're starting to see with Steve Sarkisian that there's a big hole that it needed to be filled. I don't know if needed to be filled, but could have been filled, where Nick Saban and Urban Meyer aren't these like sticklers for the sport, where they are able to sit on their soapbox and kind of say whatever they want, and people are generally going to agree and listen to them because of who they are. And you've lost that when those two aren't in college football anymore. And, you know, of those big names nowadays, it's not Kirby Smart and Ryan Day's MO to go and be the, here's what's wrong with the sport, here's what I want to change. They'll have their opinions if asked, but they're mostly going to sit back and just let their football teams talk for them. It's not going to be Kurt Cignetti because he's benefiting from it. So Sarkisian's kind of seeing this void that needs to be filled. There needs to be someone that's a bit of a spokesperson for the coaches for what's wrong with this sport, because not enough coaches are talking about it. And even past, you know, he doesn't love the 2014 expansion. He had his own playoff ideas, but, you know, he's the only one who you really hear calling out the committee the way he does. And yes, it looks bad because you were the team that was just left off, but it's not a bad take to say, like, hey, they're not really looking past the box scores, and they don't have the ability to watch all these games. How is an athletic director, which 6 of the 13 are, ever going to watch football games on Saturday? You know, they have to make the decision the next day on Selection Sunday. I made the point in my article about it, like, you know, when Kyle Whittingham, their AD is on that chair, the Utah, when Kyle Whittingham was announcing his retirement, was that AD watching Alabama versus Georgia, or was he working on the Kyle Whittingham, you know, post what's going to happen with him? And he retired on Monday, I believe. So it's just, there's so many conflicting things. I will say with Sark, his biggest downfall right now, and he needs to realize this, is that he is not as naturally funny as he thinks he is. And that is coming back to bite him on some of these statements he's had. I mean, I think back to the student reporter, shout out the Daily Texan and Zach, you know, the toilet, like, I don't record you on the toilet. That joke didn't land. The basket weaving, I think he thought might have been a little funnier than it was. And it, you know, it made the On3 headline. But he's got to stop trying to be the jokester and just, like, be serious about what he's talking about, because he makes some really good points in the article. But, of course, if you call out an individual institution and say that they're doing basket weaving, which also, why basket weaving? But if you're going to call them out, like, that's what people are going to talk about. And it's kind of – it's deflected what really should have been said from Sarkisian's article.
He left out the keyword underwater. He needed the underwater, to be in there.
That sounds pretty difficult. If my cornerback can do that, I'm all for him maybe getting some free credit hours.
He's got good hands. He's got really good hands. Exactly. So along that point right there with what Sark has done here in this article. So in your opinion, being that he is the coach at the University of Texas, which the national perception, all the money, the whatever, is this something that truly does make him kind of the spokesperson saying what people don't want to say? Or does it vilify him and the University of Texas because he's the coach here in Austin?
I think that vilification is already there. So he's now clearly learned in these 6 years that, like, no matter what, you're the coach of the University of Texas, you're going to receive your hate and your flack, but you're also going to have a pretty strong fan base behind you. So there really is. I mean, there's no coach, when you think of right now, the face of college football, who is the guy in college football right now? Sure, Kirby Smart, but, like, how many, if you go to New Hampshire and you ask a random person on the street, who's the face of college football, or who's the number one coach in college football, they might not know who Kirby Smart is. Whereas I think Steve Sarkisian can go and say, this Longhorn logo is a international brand. You see Longhorns, whether you're in Texas, whether you're in Europe, whether you're on the West Coast, you will see those logos and people will recognize it. If you go out and leverage this year into a national championship run, if you're also kind of that spokesperson in that face, you will then become the head coach in college football. If you win this national championship, that means more money, means more investment, means that your program is going to stay pretty high level. It also means you can maybe leverage that into an NFL deal, which, you know, I think some people are a little more pessimistic about his time coming to an end soon at Texas. I don't think it's quite, we should quite be discussing that yet, but there is clearly a gap here that he and his team seeing that I already am going to receive that hate at the University of Texas, but if I can get the average fan and people to really like what's going on here, and for people to say, like, you know what, this guy's making some good points. Like, there are some problems. It could A, fix the sport, which he clearly wants, B, earning some more money, and C, make it so that he can actually – he wants to stay in Austin. He wants to be the coach here. But being a college football head coach right now is a very, very difficult job, and there's a lot of problems. And when Ole Miss can go and take a guy from intro to geography at Clemson and have him enroll in Ole Miss a week later, like, that is a big problem. So – he and I believe Will Muschamp's comments from a month ago were about Ole Miss as well, about, you know, that players have to actually go to class. Like, they see Ole Miss as the kind of the antithesis of what they're trying to build with the parity and everyone on the same playing field. And that's setting up for a very fun football game with Pete Golding. And we know about the comments with Arch Manning, that recruitment. Like, how fun is that going to be in DKR when they come around?
Well, it's crazy, Evan, because, like, you know, we talked about this yesterday. If you were kind of power ranking the games on the Longhorns 2026 schedule in terms of intrigue, in terms of storyline, I mean, yeah, Texas Ole Miss might be a top 10 game when it happens. So that's a storyline in itself. But, you know, you talk about Ohio State, you would talk about the trip to Death Valley, obviously the rivalry games with Oklahoma and A&M, and to a lesser degree, Arkansas. You've got the revenge game against Florida, right? Like, there's so many other games I think felt bigger than Ole Miss. And now Steve Sarkisian just poured a bunch of gasoline on the fire. And that's a game that everybody around the country is going to be paying attention to. And like you said, it could be a night game, but I did love the basket weaving guy. It's been a long time since we've heard basket weaving brought up. And I do think it's funny. Now I'm soapboxing instead of asking you a question, but you can react to my soapbox here, Evan. Like, I saw a lot of national college football writers like trash Steve Sarkisian for making these comments. Like, oh, you're the coach of the University of Texas. You don't get to complain. You've got all this money, all these resources. Like, why are you mad about the system here? And it's like, well, all of these sports writers spend every day complaining about how crappy college football is and everything wrong with the sport. And finally, one guy who can actually maybe do something about it raises his voice and says, yeah, y'all are right. Here's all the problems with the sport. Everybody's dunking on him. I think it's pretty hilarious, Evan, that the national reaction from a lot of writers and analysts and whatever has been pretty critical of Steve Sarkisian for, I think, trying to do some things that can save college football.
No, it is ironic, and they see the 24 team get announced, and the AFCA, the coaches board, stand behind it. They go, what are the coaches doing? Why do the coaches want this? We thought the coaches were the ones who were going to stand strong, and now a coach is standing strong and taking it as public as possible, talking to USA Today and having a full article, just kind of not a full complaint article. I don't know if I would exactly call it that, but just a full critique of the sport and what he thinks is wrong. And there are a ton of really good points in there. Like, he makes good points. Even he who benefits the most from it knows that there needs to be some kind of guardrails when it comes to NIL and eligibility. And that's the guy who brought in Lawrence Seymour, who realistically shouldn't have had a case to play this year, is going to play just fine. There was no problems with them getting that over the board. And he's paying Cam Coleman millions of dollars. But teams need to be on the same playing field. The committee needs to be straightened out. And people haven't been talking about the committee enough. I know I've already talked about it twice here now, but that is a real problem in the sport. So yeah, you're right. Like, it is just, it's ironic that people just want to instantly question why he's doing it, when really he's just, he doesn't care how it looks for his university and it being the University of Texas. I do believe he would maybe say this if he was at a smaller program, maybe just not the same manner of going to USA Today and releasing this big article and having, you know, I mean, clearly they plant these guys to come out at the right time to get the most engagement, but he's completely valid to go and do this. Now you got to back it up and go make the playoff without having to make the committee do it for you and show that you can be the coach that you've proven you can sort of be at Texas, but didn't do it last year. All this noise will be gone until they play Ole Miss. the media world moves fast. We'll forget about it in a week, and then we'll remember it back when they play in October. So he's fine. He's just got to worry about getting his team healthy at this point in time. No kidding.
Well, and I think the timing of this, you know, a little bit of a down period. I mean, I know that baseball's coming up, but again, we were talking about the NFL earlier to where there's always content right there. The timing here in that downtime, I mean, it's going to make an even bigger splash with a little bit of a downtime right now.
Yeah, and he knows when to release these things. He knows when people are going to be talking about his program. Texas, have you noticed that they're always being talked about?
Yep.
There's 365. They are always the topic of discussion. That is not by an accident. It's on purpose from Sark and CDC.
Yeah, well, I'll never forget that Ole Miss is a bunch of racists, but not only are they racist, they're dumb racists, according to Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian. They taught me a lot.
They can weave. They are craftsmen.
They can weave above water, maybe underwater as well. If you ever need a basket, go to Oxford, Mississippi. They got
you. I don't know if you guys had the ability to see, because it came out right before I had hopped on the show, but Matt Stahl from an Alabama sports reporter got on the phone with a basket weaver and asked them about what it actually is like to do that profession. So I'll have to go read that after this, because he said it might be more challenging than Sark has given it credit for.
That is incredible. Evan, great stuff. Real quick, before we let you go, a shameless plug for everything going on at InsideTexas.com these days.
Yeah, InsideTexas.com is where you can find my writing. It'll be a lot of baseball this weekend, but of course, talking football. Might even write about what Sark's been talking about more. But find me there at Evan Veith on Twitter. And as always, if you see me at Longhorn events, don't be a stranger. Feel free to say hi. I'm boots on the ground most of the time.
You're the man. Evan Veith, Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com. Y'all be sure to follow him on Twitter as well, at Evan Veith. Appreciate the time as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Thank y'all for coming on.
Thanks, absolutely. Evan.
There he goes. Evan Veith, Inside Texas, InsideTexas.com, doing a tremendous job covering all things Texas sports. And how about that? A basket weaving article. What a great week for the basket weaving profession, Double R.
I mean, it has to be. There's probably like a resurgence in that right now, where people are like, but you look at it. I mean, look at like an Easter basket that you can buy somewhere. I don't know exactly how you build. I'm sure those are machine built or whatever, kind of like in a production line or something. But that's a lot to do right there. Have you ever tried to, what do they call it? Where yarn, like to make a shawl, kind of one of those things. What do they call it? Threading or whatever that is, where you use the two things and.
Dude, there are 8 billion people in the world. You could not have asked somebody worse the question that you're asking. I have zero idea what you're talking about.
Crocheting. You ever tried to crochet? I mean, I've never tried it. But to watch somebody do that, if that's anything like basket weaving, maybe it does require a degree. Maybe it does.
Isn't crochet that like sport you play in the backyard with those heavy balls and the like mallet looking things?
No, my man, that's croquet. That's Crockett. Not the school down south. Yeah, that's croquet, where with the little things. Yeah, the little.
Okay. Are they spelled the same, or am I that dumb?
Oh man, I don't know. I've never played croquet. That hammer thing. You know, it's like, don't put that in don't involve any Allstat with that. Another Allstat reference, because if you got the hammer in your hand and you get pissed off at your opponent, you forget about the heavy ball.
There goes a shin right there.
Boom.
Someone's taking one of those to the shin. Crocheting. Yeah. Now, you know, that sounds difficult, and that sounds like something I'm never going to try in this life.
Yeah, no. I've seen people do it where you see that at baseball games, where sometimes ladies go to a baseball game and they're sitting in the stands and they're doing crochet. They're making like a shawl or a blanket or something. That happens at baseball games. Baseball slow, you know, little downtime.
Yeah, all right. That's I'd rather keep score, or I'd rather just drink and eat a hot dog than do any of that stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I hear you.
Hey, shout out to you crocheters out there. And you basket weavers. Don't sleep on the basket weavers right there.
Yeah. And someone that sews, because again, this is just dropping a little Uncle Ronnie knowledge right here.
Yeah.
Someone that sews, they're not called a sewer. You're not looking for a sewer to do your job. You're looking for a seamstress or seamstrer, I guess it would be. I mean, either man or woman can do that.
Is that right? It's not a sewer?
It's not a sewer. A person that sews is not a sewer, or at least technically they're not supposed to be. You're a seamstress.
All right. You learn something new every day. That's great. Not, are you not, a seamstresser? Seamstress?
I'm not a seamstress. Not okay. To be confused with a mistress, which is what Diana Russini is.
I bring it all back to the start of the show. Well,
there
done.
It is right there.
Real quick, Relax the Back. Love my Relax the Back chair. They're giving away some things at the Mullet Open tomorrow. Two Austin area locations. If you're looking for a nice massage chair, a nice office chair, a new mattress, maybe a mattress pad. You know, you don't want to spend on a full mattress, but they've got those big mattress pads that can make your current bed feel a hell of a lot more comfortable. RelaxTheBack.com. You can shop online or go to their two Austin area stores, shop in store. Super clean, super nice people, super knowledgeable. They want to help you make your back problems go away forever. Love our friends at Relax the Back. And also Sleep Cycle Center. Double R, I know you've talked about your battles with sleep apnea over the years. Look, it's serious and it's important to get taken care of. Our guy, Dr. Chad, can make your sleeping problems go away for good. Go see him. Free consultation. Plus, if you mention this show, you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study. SleepCycleCenters.com. It's not just CPAP. They've got mouth guards that you can use. They've got other alternative solutions as well to your snoring or to your sleeping problems. SleepCycleCenters.com for more info. So I'm going to end with this in a very abbreviated edition of the BBK News or the RBK News today. We can call it that.
Nice.
The kids are not all right. The who was wrong. The kids are not all right. Got some data here. Take that for data. A chart that shows, we'll start with this one. We've got two visuals for the people for the purpose of this segment. This is alcohol consumption amongst teens. This is the percentage of 12th graders, so older teens, I guess still not technically old enough to drink, because you got to be 21. 21 means 21, kids, I guess. But here's a chart that shows the alcohol consumption amongst teens from like the late 1970s to where we are here in the mid-2020s. You've gone from 92% to 47%. In terms of percentage of 12th graders who have ever consumed alcohol. This is not like, oh, every day or every Friday I'm drinking. Percentage of 12th graders who have ever consumed alcohol has shrunk by just about half, from 92% to 47%. What is going on?
Where are we at in society? No, I'm just kidding. Be better, teens. No. You know what? I will tell you, we talk about early bird CBDs on this program. I think that that's a big part of it, to where to take the edge off, you know, to chill, to get the buzz. I think there's a lot of other options right now to where it's not so much the alcohol, because you talk about calorie intake and all of these different things and risks and health. I think a lot more people are health conscious, maybe, than I know when I was a kid. And again, I was a kid in the 80s, to where it's like, let's go get a six pack, you know, let's go get a 12 pack. That was the only option that you had. I mean, other than doing things that are prohibited by law, which I may have done a time or two, but I think there's other options right now is possibly what that is.
Well, what's interesting is, because my initial thought was, all right, alcohol consumption has gone down, but it feels like weed is the craze, right? Like, it's become legalized in a lot more states, still not here in Texas, but it was like, all right, maybe as alcohol has gone down, the marijuana consumption has grown up. But here is the chart, marijuana use, percent of 12th graders who have ever used marijuana. And that has also gone down. It's not as low as it's ever been, but compared to what it was in the 70s and 80s, that has also gone down. So, a bunch of nerds. What are the kids doing these days, man?
Yeah, it's like take a risk, drink a beer. I mean, I know in the past when, you know, a first-time marijuana smoker, you know, where it's like, oh, I don't, it makes me cough. Like, that's part of the joy of it. You know what I mean? That's part of the thrill. It's like a battle scar. It's like that first inhale. Wow. It's like, okay, hold that. And then, you know, you get the confidence.
Swallow it, kids. Swallow it.
That's right. That's inhaling.
Well, here's, you know, I will defend the kids here. Maybe the kids are being smart, because it's like, if I'm in high school and someone's like surveying me. Hey, have you ever smoked weed? I'm thinking, well, this is a narc. I'm not saying yes to you. Like, you're going to rat me out. You're going to turn me in. You're going to call the cops. You're going to investigate my locker at school or my room at home. No, thank you. So maybe it's just a case of the kids are like, well, I can get in trouble if I say I drink or I smoke because I'm in 12th grade. I'm not allowed to do those things. Maybe it's that. But what I really think it is kids don't socialize these days, man. They're glued.
Oh, I know.
They're glued to these. They're living online. They're not going to parties. They're hanging out with online friends, you know, chatting, video calls, whatever. And you don't have to drink or smoke to do that. You stay at home and you get all your socialization right there.
And how much of this maybe do we blame the pandemic? And I say that because what are we, 5 years, 6 years down the road from the 2020 to where it's like everybody's confined to where teenagers – you're at home, you're locked up with your old parents. You can't do these things. And then you just feel no need to do it. Where I think when I was a kid, we just wanted to be, as Pac-Man Jones once said, I just wanted to be rebellion. So I'd go out and drink or do whatever. I think it was just kind of the chase, you know what I mean? Just kind of the chase of it back in the day. Because you're not supposed to do it.
I think the pandy had a lot to do with it. There's no doubt. I mean, it just put everyone on hold and people got used to hanging inside and not going out and not socializing and people don't have to work. I don't think it's just kids, by the way. Like, yeah, drinking numbers, I think, have gone down kind of across the board. And I feel like social gatherings are not quite what they used to be. So I think everyone just kind of getting used to staying at home for a year, year and a half. And like, this was all you had. I think that was a big part of it. And here's a little chart that I put together. Inverse relationship, alcohol use versus intoxication via smartphone, double R. That's what it is. Like we're drunk on these things. I'm guilty. Even people who do go out and drink and smoke and whatever, we're all guilty of being on our screens way too much. And it's easier now than ever before to entertain yourself. And people are choosing to do that versus going out and entertaining others or being entertained by others in real life.
So I think the BK thought for the day, after all of this, after this lesson that we have learned here in this study, is that the pandy turned us into pansies.
Ah, nice. Nicely done. I like there, it. Sir. Right yeah, there. The vid has turned us into shid.
If you will. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's bad. So, yeah, it sucks. Go drink your Altstadt. Go take your early bird CBD. Go have fun, kids. Get off your phone and go party.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll buy you beer. Is that illegal? Can I say that?
Hey, that kid at DKR can do it. If she can do it, anybody can do it.
She is keeping. Yeah. She's the only reason those stats are not at 0%, right? Our little DKR friend is, we know she's going out. We know she's socializing. We know she's paying for booze and drinking beer. We need more of her out there. Be more like her.
I've got another song that should be written. I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Like that young girl right there.
I like that. I'll vote for her for president if she ever decides to run, you know?
Amen.
Some people will be, oh, that's disgusting. We can't have her in charge. No, that's the kind of decision making that we've got to have right there.
That's what we need.
All right. This was fun. Great stuff, my friend. Appreciate you filling in for the buck once again.
Hey, man. Stay limber. Be ready for tomorrow. We got a golf tournament to win.
We got a golf tournament to survive tomorrow. We'll be out there tomorrow doing a little bit of live content. Bucky will be back. Rodney will be on. Wags will be on as well. I think Tom McKay is going to hang with us. The morning kickoff with Harge and Mark. If you want to meet Mark Henry, you've met most of us. If you want to meet the world's strongest man, go out to Lost Pines Resort. We'll be out there tomorrow for the 25th annual Mullet Open. Can't wait for that event. Hope to see all of you people out there. If you can't make it again, we'll be posting great stuff on social media throughout the day. But fun show. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Even you, Forever Burnt, whoever was talking smack earlier. We do appreciate you spending some time to hang with us. Y'all enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.